2, 3, 4.
What would you talk about on your podcast?
5, 7, 8.
Hello, lady.
9, 10, 11.
Elvis Duran presents
12, 13, 14, 15.
The 15-minute morning show. Now we're doing this podcast on Tuesday, November 5th. We had a really good show today. Charlie Puth came in, performed, and sang, and
how does he do that thing?
How does he do?
Where I go, and he's like B flat.
Oh, he knows. He has perfect pitch. It's this weird thing. He was struck by lightning as a child.
How does that work, though?
Well, I don't know. And that's the whole point. We don't know. We don't have perfect pitch. So we'll look it up. I mean, look it up.
Do you think he's lying to a degree, though?
No. I think he's... Like, if I played... I knew this kid back in high school, and he had perfect pitch. And we would play this game where we would press a key on the piano. He would have his eyes closed, and he would walk from the other side of the room and hit the same key.
Yeah. No. I have friends who can do it, too. I can tell you a third, like between a C and an E, or an F and an F and an A. Well, no, that's not. A third would be two different notes.
I think I can do the perfect.
Two notes in relation to each other.
I can do the perfect C. A.
Have to take your word for it. I don't even know.
Nobody texted in to correct him, and I'm sure there's musicians listening.
I think C. That's a C.
Yes, you said the word C.
No, I believe. Wait,
the letter C.
Hold on, maybe I pulled up with my phone. Hold on.
This is what this has come to.
Okay, hold on.
So,
you know the dial tone is an F?
Yes, that I did know.
So you could tune your guitar to a dial tone.
And a car horn's E, I think.
Depends
right?
on the car.
I think it just depends.
If you have a Toyota, it's a heh. And if you have my car, it's a
I'm doing a C.
Okay, here we go. This is perfect pitch C.
C.
Hold on. Here we go. And survey says. Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go. Ugh.
He's going to do it again if you don't hit this.
Okay, well, I'll get to this in a minute. I have to download an app. This is stupid.
No, you had it.
No, I don't.
Go back. It was the YouTube thing.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't Elvis's French horn under the desk? Bassoon, what is that?
Oh, it's baritone.
Baritone.
This is the most boring podcast ever.
Oh, no, yesterday's was worse.
I want to know if I was right.
Oh, hold on, here we go. Sing it. Hold on.
This is C.
You weren't on there.
You were way high.
You were an E. That's a third. C to E is a third. Anyway, so perfect pitch, Charlie Puth. That was good.
Yeah.
Where's Gandhi?
Gandhi's recording stuff.
By the way, should we apologize for yesterday's podcast?
What happened? I had to leave early. What happened?
We had technical difficulties.
We had technical problems, yeah.
Okay, I heard that you didn't. You just said that, so you wouldn't have to do a podcast.
No, there was technical problems.
Technically, Nate didn't want to do a podcast.
There are occasions where the music will start playing to introduce us, and then somehow the music starts trailing us right back out on a loop within a minute. It usually happens the day before vacations.
Yeah, and Fridays occasionally it happened, but then we stopped doing them on Fridays, so we eliminated that
problem.
Also,
it happens right after Scary spends about 12 seconds going, oh, hold on, oh, what is that?
So you're saying this boring podcast is in line to compete with yesterday's boring podcast?
No, this is already way better than
and longer. Really?
It's
and
longer.
And longer.
What do you mean longer? How long did you go yesterday?
59 seconds.
Roughly.
That's including an ad.
Yeah.
Because people were texting in today saying they got mad at you, Nate, because you ended the podcast on an early technical problem.
I was merely demonstrating to Gandhi what we used to do. Scary took it to the next level and actually finished the podcast early, which I'm not upset about, to be honest with you.
How much was that bus you just threw Scary under?
No, wow. I think I could have stopped him and said, well, that's what it was like when we used to do the podcast and we didn't want to do it, but no, I didn't. I wanted to be done. I didn't have anything to say yesterday.
Hey, let's talk about stuff that happens back the background. People like to hear what happens, you know, when the songs are on, when the commercials are playing. Today with Charlie Puth here, he had his entourage, his sister, you know, people from the music label were here. And he's always so nice to us. His people are all nice. His bodyguard is also the bodyguard for Harry Styles.
Yeah, Mason.
Yeah, Mason. Big, tall guy, right? Mm-hmm. Who didn't want to take shit off anyone. You can just tell he's like just... You know, please don't hurt Charlie or I'll have to kill you. You know, one of those guys. Good. That's what he gets paid to do. But someone here was so impressed that Mason, Harry Styles' bodyguard, was here guarding Charlie Puth, but they were more impressed with the fact that he's the bodyguard for Harry Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, we're so happy Charlie's here because his bodyguard is a bodyguard for Harry Styles.
So we blew his cover. So he was telling Charlie and the record label that his friend is Harry Styles' bodyguard. Yeah. Until our friends here kind of called him out, and Charlie Puth just found out after our interns told him.
Okay, there you have it.
So I went up to him. I said, "Hey, listen, my interns would love to get a picture with you." And he went, "Why? Why would they want a picture of me?" And I said, "Because
speaks like Batman."
Yeah, because you bodyguard famous people, and one of your other clients, although they love Charlie, they're obsessed with.
Did he take it?
Well, he said, "Who?" I said, "He goes, nope, don't tell me, Harry Styles." Yes. Oh, how do they know me? Because you're 7 feet tall and you have a beard and a man bun. And so he said, yeah, if they want a picture.
His man bun made him 7'2". Hey, did he take a picture?
Yeah, he took the picture, yeah.
So we welcome to the room Gandhi. Hi, Gandhi.
Hi.
Danielle's walking through. Danielle.
Hey, Dee.
Bye, love you guys.
Hi, bye.
All right.
Bye. Wow, at least you made more of today's podcast than I did yesterday.
Nice.
We all did.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday was only a minute long. Hi, Gandhi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I was just as impressed with this bodyguard standing out there. I was trying to like sneak a picture because to me, and we know that tonight the Little Mermaid Live is on, that guy looked like a human King Triton.
He does.
Like this long gray hair.
Like modern day. Yeah, no, definitely, 100%.
Yeah, like if they were casting that part, it should be this dude. But I was just looking at him like, he is about a foot and a half taller than everyone. He looks like a lumberjack. And also, I would never mess with him. So I was trying to take a picture and he totally saw me.
What is it about these bodyguards? And we see them all the time and we have for many years. Some of them look mad and some of them aren't mad. We just assume they're mad because they're big.
Resting bitch face.
I had brought up Big Rob to him because he's the Jonas Brothers bodyguard. Mm-hmm. But Big Rob has been up here 100 times with almost every artist we've ever had. And he goes on stage now and sings with Jonas Brothers. So I said, he does. It was on the internet last week. So I said, Mason, would you ever sing with Charlie? He goes, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So he's not quite as Big Rob fun and teddy bearish. But Garrett used to only take pictures with bodyguards when they come up here, not the celebrities.
Why? I had an idea of making a coffee table book, me and bodyguards.
Okay.
So I have enough to make it happen. It just hasn't come
I love that.
Come out
it's
yet.
It's a great idea. And it's a part of this business a lot of people aren't familiar with.
Exactly. Nate actually got some advice for his man bun from Mason the bodyguard, because he, too, has a man bun.
Are you really going to pursue this man bun
thing?
I am.
Apparently takes 3 years, though. I don't know if I have that kind of time.
I don't know if you do.
He had a lot, and he had a beard.
Yeah.
Because he said, he looked at me, and he goes, are you going to grow the beard, too? And I said, I'm going to try. And he just looked at me with this look of disgust on his face. Like, I was just not worthy for either a beard or a man bun. And then he walked away.
Beard nor bun.
Yeah. I just wasn't worthy. And he just walked away. Didn't even say goodbye.
Guys are very elitist about their beards. Yeah. Very. And they judge other guys' beards. I had no idea it was like this underground club of...
No, the beard takes big. I wish I could have a regular beard. I just can't.
It's good with scruff.
But it's all silver.
Oh, but that's sexy.
It is Movember. And remember that one time you challenged me to just do a mustache? With
you
no
look
beard?
Like such a creep.
To catch a predator.
So bad.
That you look like a predator.
2-3 weeks in, I had to get rid of it. It was terrible.
We kept putting up pictures of him with Mario from Nintendo.
It was so bad. The rule was
Gandhi,
I could only
grow
a mustache.
I used to be able to grow a better beard than probably all of you in this room, but I went to Ideal Image Med Spa, and now I'm hair free.
Look at you.
Yeah, sorry,
Dallas. I remember one time Movember was going to come on as a client, and Skiri agreed to do Movember, but with conditions.
conditions?
He's like, well, I have to be able to shave on November blank. And he gave a date because he had a very big appearance that day.
it was actually my brother's wedding or something.
Oh.
I didn't want to be in family pictures looking like
You don't want to commit to facial hair.
Couldn't do it.
Well, back to this bodyguard thing. You know, I have noticed in our years of doing this, there are two types of bodyguards. There are the bodyguards that just are there to escort the artist from the car to the venue and then kind of watch them and then escort them back. Then there are other bodyguards that actually show up early, case the joint, look for all the exits, observe everyone and bulges in their pockets when they arrive. Those are the bodyguards.
Yeah. And check the toilet.
And check the toilet, like Janet Jackson's bodyguards did, just to make sure we didn't have any Mutz cameras.
Mutz cameras.
Do you remember Britney Spears' bodyguards? They were former Israeli commandos.
Yeah.
I love those ones.
Yeah, walking around with them, and they weren't the big, stereotypical, huge bodyguards. They were the ones that would do, like, ninja moves on you. If something happened.
Like Krav Maga.
Yeah.
What is it you say? Yeah, they just mess you up.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting that a lot of these people have bodyguards we'll never see. That they're just out and about, dressed like normal people, chasing the place. Yeah. Those are the ones that are scary, too.
Britney's people came in and covered up the Coke machine when she was big with Pepsi. We had a Coke machine.
And they didn't want anyone to accidentally get a picture of her with Coke machine.
Yeah. Like in the background, because that would be scandalous.
I didn't see that.
Well, I'm sure there was a contract that said, thou shalt not take pictures of Britney and Coke. Anyway.
So Elvis, you don't know this. When we're out at events, a bunch of us kind of act as your bodyguard as we try to figure out a situation, if something goes wrong, how to get you out of there.
Really?
Which you don't know. But we try. Why
would I ever need to get out of anywhere?
I've
seen a situation you had to get out of.
Yeah.
There was definitely one. We don't have to talk about it, but there was definitely
Well, maybe one day you can tell me.
No, you were part of it. We were like, oh my God, make sure he gets back to his room where he's getting his skin peeled off with a potato peeler.
Oh, that. Yeah. And sometimes we have those.
And you've had fights with bodyguards.
Yes.
Yes. the Rihanna one, remember?
Yeah.
Rihanna.
Is it the book?
That was a stage manager.
Stage manager, yeah.
Yeah, he was an idiot. No, but anyway, so someone else talk. I have
a cold. So at the beginning of the show, we were talking about catching up on things like Nate's scabies.
Oh, God.
Oh, what happened to your scabies?
It wasn't scabies. Oh. Thank you, Elvis. Even though you freaked me out.
What was it?
Was it nerves?
It was cold urticaria. It's an allergy to cold. Can you believe this?
Really?
This shit actually exists.
So fragile.
Because I was explaining to the doctor, and he goes, I've never really heard of that. Give me a second. And then he went and consulted, which is always something you want to hear your doctor say.
Right, yeah. You should have Googled.
And then he went and consulted somebody else.
And they come back in the room and they're like,
He goes, well, it could be. And he goes, it could be this thing called cold urticaria, which it's a reaction your body has to cold. It's an allergy to the cold.
No wonder that bodyguard talked to you like you're a puss. You're afraid of the
thanks,
cold.
Thanks, Brody.
So wait, is there medicine for it?
No.
Or are you just supposed to stay out of the cold?
And he goes, well, if it happens again, call me.
I'm cold intolerant.
Bubble boy.
I like that he said it could be, which means it also could not be.
I know.
Okay.
He goes, if it happens again, let me know.
I thought Garrett's gluten thing was a big deal. He'd look, you're allergic to cold.
Yeah, cold.
Oh,
God. Crap. Room full of fragility.
All right, somebody else go.
So this Below Deck thing. You know, I'm obsessed with Below Deck.
Yes, mm-hmm. You are.
It really, truly just, it's great watching. It's watching these people try to get along while they're dealing with all these different passengers that come on board, you know, for a week or two or three days at a time. It really is. It's a fascinating show. It is.
I could see you and your friends on there, though. Like, you, the zoo crew, Uncle Johnny. I think that would be a great episode of Below Deck.
Oh, he'd toss Uncle Johnny off in a heartbeat.
Oh, in a heartbeat. the problem is his wig is buoyant.
Oh, damn. Keeps him afloat every time, doesn't it?
But the good news is he's not.
But okay, that is the good news. The thing about Below Deck is it has all the right elements going. You have the crew who you get to know. And then they have to interact with a family or some friends that come on and leave.
Oh, yeah.
So you have the people that you know, then you meet new people, then they go away, and then they're replaced by other people. And then it's fascinating how they run a cruise ship or a yacht, a charter is what it is.
Is it like the old show Love Boat?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
No, it's a yacht that holds like 12 people.
Do you like it enough that it could be your plan B if you ever leave here, you will work for Below Deck?
No, of course not. No.
No, you just like to watch them.
Could you live on a yacht?
Yeah.
Who couldn't? Well, I'd love to.
I couldn't.
It'd be amazing. Oh,
I don't know. What's wrong? Scary's poo-pooing.
He yawned.
No.
Scary's like, I could never live on a yacht.
Who wants to go on the Staten Island ferry?
I get seasick very easily.
More fragility, for the love of God.
You really are just like...
Where are the men?
What?
Get Alex on the phone. Like, he's a man.
What are you talking about? What do you mean he's a man?
He can't go on water. Nate can't go in the cold. Garrett can't eat food.
Let's not get started on Brody.
I'm sick all the time.
I'm the manliest one in the room. And I used to be able to grow the best beard.
And me, I'm attracted to other guys.
There you go. Suckers.
Which is a very manly thing. I'm not taking manliness away from guys. No. Okay.
Listen, I'm not trying to compare a yacht to a fishing boat, but I did go fishing once, and I after the boat was out at sea, and it was started rocking back and forth, I'm like, I'm feeling nauseous.
Yeah, you out of your element.
I had to go upstairs and lay flat on my back. At the top deck, because that was the part that was rocking the least.
You starfished on the poop deck?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it prevented me from vomiting, but I felt so sick.
I went on a cruise, and one of my friends came with me, and she had all these patches and different things for her seasickness, and the entire time I was like, you wuss.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You're not primed for anything. Meanwhile, I'll puke at the smell of a poop.
I enjoyed the fact that we spent the first 45 minutes of our show today on the air. Talking about how you hate poop.
I hate poop.
I don't think any of us love it. But
I just hate smelling it.
But have you seen the video of the guy who's walking through the Mill Creek Mall in in Secaucus, New Jersey.
No, someone said it.
Little round turds roll down his pant leg, and they fall on the floor, and another guy comes up the escalator and slips and falls on his poop.
No. It's my worst nightmare.
I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah.
The 15-Minute Morning Show.